blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 25, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, who shall come to thee and stand before thy face? Who shall abide a welcome guest within thy holy place? 1 through 4 of Psalter number 25.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 25. Psalm 25. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 25. A Psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, we have with us our confession class students in this afternoon hour. And part of our instruction concerns prayer and also the posture of men in prayer when we come before God. And when we have spoken about this, and then I have asked both of these young men when they would become members, that they would stand in a public prayer. And what is the reason for this? Well, that has to do with respect for him whom we approach unto. Young people, when we come into a court, then we hear an officer. When the judge will enter, then he says, all stand. That is because a man will enter who is in an office. And then out of great respect for that office, and then all are to stand. That has never been in the church's custom for women, because she is seen as the weaker vessel. But actually it is when we come in the public worship service before the great office bearer, a proper position for the men and the boys, and that they would stand in prayer. Now, I have asked it of these two young men, but that is not so easy for them, of course, when they must do this largely alone. And therefore, we would like to ask that also of all of you who may be willing, that you also, when public prayer is offered in the church, that you may also stand with them. And may the Lord then give us that great office bearer may be in our midst. Let us therefore try to pray and ask for the blessing and the help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we have read out of thy holy word of the cry, the prayer, the desire of thy servant. Oh, he could not do without thee. He could not do without thy presence and without thy communion. And Lord, and we also can come in an outward form, and thou art holy, and thou art high, and thou art uplifted, and we are but wretched and miserable creatures of the dust. Give us then a heart that may come right before thee when we come into the presence of thee who art our great judge. And wilt thou give us a cry that we may be delivered, and that our sins may be forgiven. Oh, that we may have a surety to stand for us in that great court. Oh, remember us together in thy mercy as a congregation, and as others that may be gathered with us in this afternoon hour. Lord, we gather with these young friends. O thou knowest also their hearts and all that lies within them in these moments. O may thou remember them, and may thou give them what is necessary to answer these questions which will come to them at the end of this service, when they are called to make a vow, and then a vow before the all-knowing and the all-seeing God of the heavens and of the earth. Oh, then we have spoken many times together of the impossibility of keeping this vow, and on the other side, the necessity. Oh, may it have brought them upon their knees before thee, and may it continue to bring them there, and not only them, but all of us who have once stood in that place and made that same vow before thee, or that we may be brought back to it in this afternoon hour, and that we may become guilty in thy holy sight, that we may need to be washed, and that we may need to be cleansed. And may thou give a blessing upon walking in an outward way, in accordance with thy will and thy desire. Oh, it may be for us as a congregation a good day, a glad day, when we may see that there are still those who have a desire in an outward way to join themselves unto thy truth. But Lord, it cannot convert them. Oh, that thou may give them and us together a cry to thee, that thou may thyself give the application. And wilt thou go therefore with thy word, that we hope to bring. Oh, may thou stand on our right and on our left hand, and may thou thyself come into our midst. And wilt thou bless us with those blessings that we cannot do without, and instruct us with that instruction that we stand in need of, as we are traveling to that great and ever-ending eternity. Remember all that could not gather with us. Be with them in their places this day, all the afflicted, all the sick ones. And wilt thou supply for needs of widows, widowers, orphans, handicapped, blind, deaf, and dumb, and all those that have special needs in this world, those that are not married, those that have no children, those that have distresses because of children, and whose heart also in this day does weep when their children are here and there upon the face of this world. Oh, that thou may also remember them, and wilt thou give a cry to thee, that thou may bring once again to remember that instruction that they have received in the days of their youth. Lord, be with us then as a congregation to give not only an outward increase, but may it be an increase in the knowledge of thy truth, an increase in the knowledge unto him that must go before this flock from week to week. And Lord, wilt thou instruct us that we may be given to instruct others. And may thou use us as a little tool in thy holy fingers for the conversion of many and for the instruction of thy people. Come then thou in the midst of us. Forgive and take away all that is sinful. Wash us and cleanse us in the blessed and all atoning blood of thy dear Son. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 7, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. On the good and faithful, God has set His love. And when they call, He sends them blessings from above. Stand in awe and sin not, and bid your heart be still. Through the silent watches, think upon His will. We announced that Mr. Dan Niels, who is a member of the Reformed Church of North America, hopes to join our congregation, the Lord willing, by confession of faith before the consistory. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory before January 30th. Psalter number 7, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Congregation, the words of our text you can find in the portion that was read to you, Psalm 25, in the 14th verse. Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So far the words of our text. The inestimable privilege of them that fear the Lord. First, what it means to fear the Lord. We read, them that fear him. Second, what is with them that fear the Lord? We read, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear the Lord, that fear him. And third, what will be shown to them that fear the Lord? We read, and he will show them his covenant. Thus, the inestimable privilege of them that fear the Lord. First, what it means to fear the Lord. Second, what is with them that fear the Lord. And third, what will be shown to them that fear the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. What does this mean? Those that fear him. Actually, that is used in two different ways in the Bible. In one sense, that fear, that word is used concerning terror and concerning dread. Then it is said of the kingdoms of Israel at the time of the reigning of Jehoshaphat that the fear of the Lord fell upon them, so that these nations did not dare to attack the children of Israel. Thus, there was a terror, there was a dread that the Lord has put in the hearts of all of these nations. Boys and girls, you know also of that time when the children of Israel came to the borders of the land for the first time. And when those spies, they have spoken to Rahab, and she has testified how that terror of the Lord was upon all of the inhabitants of the land. Thus the Lord, he is striking the heart of his enemies with dread, with fear, and with terror. But we read also of this word in a very different sense in the Word of God. Solomon writes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Well, dread and terror, that is not giving a person strong confidence. Dread and terror, that is no fountain of life. It is no beginning of wisdom. Thus, it is impossible that this word is being used here in that same way. But that word fear and the expression, the fear of the Lord, that is used in the Word of God often to speak of awe, to speak of reverence, to speak of the respect, to revere, actually to worship, to bow before, to serve, to love the true and the living God. David says, come ye children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Oh, he would gather his children together
And he would have them, he would draw them, as it were, to seek and to serve the Most High God. Is that the desire of our heart, parents? Also concerning our own children. And now we read also of the fear of the Lord, often in the Word of God, in direct relation to the commandments of the Lord. David says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments." The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Fear of the Lord is clean. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Congregation, do we fear the Lord? Do we stand in awe of God? Do we stand in awe of the commandments, of the statutes, of the testimonies of the Lord? Or can we very easily go on in our own way, in the way of disobedience? The Lord does not strike fear and terror and dread in the heart of His children. But the Lord does give love with a sense of awe for the blessed, the great, and that holy majesty of the God of the heavens and of the earth. That the people are not only fearing to disobey, but that they have a desire in their heart that they may obey. Then they have a love for Him. Those things, they go together. Oh, how little fear of the Lord is in the land in which we dwell. How little awe, how little reverence does man have for the Lord and for His commandments. And yet, congregation, we don't have to go outside of our own doors, because we can ask ourselves, who make a profession of that name of the Lord, where our fear of the Lord is, and where our fear of the Lord is evident, manifest in our own life, even unto the world. Yes, we have an external religion. But the question is not, do we have an external religion? The question is, do we fear the Lord? Do we stand in awe of His commandments? Are we as Joseph, as he was in the temptation, when he says, "How shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Congregation, when the Lord says in His Word, love covers a multitude of sins, that is, the sins of my neighbor, that love covers them. Or do we then fear the Lord? When the Word of God says, "Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Children, obey your parents." Do we fear the Lord? When the Word of the Lord testifies against drunkenness, against adultery, against covetousness, congregation, do we fear the Lord? Is the fear of the Lord evident in our appearance in this world, that it is according to the commandments of the Lord? is the fear of the Lord? Is that evident in our walk? Is that evident, young people, in the friends that you take? Is that evident in our language? Oh, to fear the Lord, that is in the first place our duty. It is our duty by virtue of our creation. That term, to fear the Lord, is often used as a verb. When Moses says to the children of Israel, "Thou shalt fear the name of the Lord thy God," thus a duty. And on the other hand, that fear of the Lord that is by nature such an impossibility. And why? By virtue of our deep fall. Why is that? Because the fear of the Lord that lies in the heart of a person. And though in an outward way, then that fear of the Lord may be made evident and manifest by our walk, it does not consist in that outward walk. Israel says, "We will fear the Lord." Joshua says, "You cannot fear the Lord. You cannot serve Him." And why not? Because He is a holy God. Because He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your sins, your transgressions. And yet it is possible that a man again comes in his life to fear the Lord. How? By nature of a new birth. And it is in that moment that that fear of the Lord is planted and that begins in the heart of a person, then they begin to stand in awe. Our fathers have used an expression that then a man, he does not dare to step over a straw. Why not? Because of that fear of the Lord. The Lord converted Zacchaeus. Oh, then that fear of the Lord that did make him to desire immediately to turn from all of his past ways. The half of my goods I give to the poor. Actually, it is in the future I will give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man, I will restore him fourfold. Oh, that fear of the Lord, that desire to walk in the ways of the Lord, that thief mocked when he was on the cross. But as soon as the Lord converted him, then all his mocking ceased. And then that fear of the Lord in his heart that did make him even to rebuke his fellow mocker. "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, congregation, do we fear the Lord?" Or what is it that makes a man fear the Lord? We see that in our second thought, what is with them that fear the Lord? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear the Lord. There is actually here a double blessing, because here is in the first place the cause of the fear of the Lord, but here is in the second place the benefit or the fruit that is coming out of that fear of the Lord. Is that possible? Oh, yes. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, "To him that hath shall be given. And to him that hath not shall be taken from him even that thing which he hath." Thus that fear of the Lord that is worked actually by the secret workings of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." It is the secret working of the Lord. Thus the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. On the other hand, for the true church of God to actively walk in that fear of the Lord, that is also bringing a blessing in their life by the promise of the Lord. Thus, it is not only a cause, but it is also a fruit. It is also a benefit of that fear of the Lord. Boys and girls, do you remember what the Lord said to Abraham when he was willing to offer his son upon the altar? Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Because thou hast obeyed my voice, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Oh, do you remember what the Lord had promised the house of the Rechabites? When they have walked according to the commandment of Jonadab, their father, that the Lord promised to them, "Because you have hearkened unto the commandment of Jonadab, your father, that there shall not want of thee a man to stand before me forever." Thus, the fruit also, the blessing of walking in that fear of the Lord, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. What is a secret? Secret that is something that is hidden, maybe known just to two or three, or maybe known to very many, but at least that is something that is hidden from some. That is, it is a secret. And maybe one or another time, then we have desired to be able to enter somewhat into a certain secret, something that is known unto others, but that is not known unto ourselves. And here the Lord speaks about a secret that is not of man. No, but we read here about a secret of the Lord, that is the secret of the living God. That is not a secret that is known to everyone. That is a secret that belongs only unto His people. Congregation, are we ever jealous of that secret? Are we ever desirous to enter into that secret, that mystery that is of the true children of the Lord? Then actually this original word that is here translated secret can be translated in different ways. It can also be translated with the word counsel, thus reading, "The counsel of the Lord is with them that fear Him." Or the word fellowship, so the fellowship of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And the translators of the King James Version, they have chosen as the translation, "The secret of the Lord." But actually, it is all one and the same. And then those other words, they throw also further light on it, because in that new birth, and then that people enter into the counsel of the Lord. That is, in the new birth, then they become what? Then they become a child. And a child, he enters into a special relation. That is, with his own father, with his own mother. Then there is a special fellowship between parents and their own children. Is that so also in your house, young people? Or do you not even give maybe your parents the opportunity to have such a communion, to have such fellowship? And do we seek that out, parents, with our children? But the Lord is showing to His children, counseling, giving them to enter into a certain secret that He does not show unto all of the rest of this world. And thus, this text, that is actually proof of the fact that we need more than an outward revelation of the Word of God. Contrary to the claims of many, many people and denominations in the day in which we are living. Because there are many people that say the Lord has revealed everything to us that we need. It is all right here in the Word of God. Nothing is hidden. All we need now to do is to believe it. And congregation, in an outward sense, then we say, yes, there is a certain truth to this. Because the Word of God is complete, and everything that we need to know for the salvation of our soul that is revealed to us in that Word of God. And yet, here we read that the Lord has a secret. Thus, a secret that He shows to some and He withholds from others, despite the publication of that same Word of God to everyone. Thus, no, we need more than that outward revelation of the Word of God. Then we need also an inward revelation. We need to be given to enter into that secret of the Lord. Oh, David, we can read that also in this psalm and in many other psalms. David is beseeching the Lord, Lord, teach me Thy statutes. Lord, show me Thy way. Lord, lead me in Thy truth. What is it that he desires more than what is outward, that he desires to be led into that blessed secret of the Lord? What do we read of the Lord Jesus? When he is walking with the men to Emmaus, then we read he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, then they enter into that secret of the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus say to his own disciples? Then he promised them the Spirit to do what? That they may enter into that secret. That Spirit would lead them into all the truth. In a natural way, there are many things that you and I know in our intellect. But because we have never experienced these things, they remain to you and to me a secret. There is the secret of the widow. That is the experience of loneliness day by day that is outside of the experience of everyone who is not a widow. We know this in our intellect, and yet it remains to us a mystery. It remains to us actually a secret. There is the secret congregation of the unmarried. There is the secret of the childless. that is a secret burden with every child that is born in the congregation, with every child that is baptized within the congregation, a secret that we know with our intellect, but that you and I cannot enter into. There is the secret of the condemned. It is those who have stood before the judge and that have said that, given that sentence, that they have heard themselves with their ears. It is that secret that those have entered into, that have gone to the physician, and that have heard with their own ears that they have an incurable disease. They are secrets. And thus, with every experience that there is in this life, man is coming into a special communion and a fellowship with those who have experienced the same thing in their life. And on the outside of that fellowship lies everyone who knows it only in their intellect. Therefore, true farmers, they have a certain communion that a farmer and a physician do not have together. And why not? Because they cannot enter into the secret of one another. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. O congregation, the Bible, the Word of God, that is so full of secrets. And those secrets, they are waiting to be revealed unto a needy people. With every blessed doctrine in the Word of God, there is a blessed secret that is attached to that doctrine. There is a special comfort to be experienced by that true church. It is the secret of the Lord. Oh, for that true church that remains a closed book, that remains a secret, until the Lord is pleased to open up that secret unto their own soul. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. There really is not one of that true church of God that is on the outside of that secret of the Lord. And that is why that true church that receives a communion with one another, and that the whole world cannot possibly enter into. And yet there is also a great difference even among the children of the Lord. That is, that the Lord reveals to one much more of that secret than that He is revealing unto another. And people of the Lord, that has much to do with your own life. That has much to do with a tender walk. That has much to do with a close life. That is, with that fear of the Lord. Because we read, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And what is now that blessed secret in a special way that the Lord is showing unto that people? Let us sing first. Psalter 415, stanza 7. Yea, the secret of Jehovah is with those who fear his name, with his friends in tender mercy. He his covenant will maintain, and with a confidence complete, toward the Lord my eyes are turning. From the net he'll pluck my feet. He will not despise my yearning. Stanza 7 of Psalter 415. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant that is the greatest secret that a person can be given to enter into in this life. If we are not led into that secret, if we are not shown something, if something of that secret is not revealed to us from above, then we can never enter into the smallest part of that secret. There is a covenant of works that is not secret. No, it is a covenant in which you and I are born, that is engraved upon the tables of our heart. There is, however, something about that covenant that is a secret that you and I need to be shown. What is that secret? That is, that the covenant is broken. That is what we do not see. That is what is so hidden from us. And that is now a secret that the Lord is showing to them that fear him, as they are trying to serve him, and with the love of all their heart, as they attempt to keep the commandments of the Lord, because they are walking in that tender fear of the Lord, then the Lord is going to show unto them this secret. Thus, it is a secret, that they learn in the way of obedience. It is a secret they learn in the way of desire. Oh, it is a secret that they learn when the Lord is bringing them to the end of that law. What is that secret? That is the impossibility of this way. The world, the external church, the historical faith, the temporary faith never enters into this secret. Nor have they a desire to enter into that secret. But it is preparation for them that fear the Lord, that He might show them another covenant. The Lord will give them to enter into another mystery. That is the mystery of free and sovereign grace for the most wretched and undone and sinful creature here on the earth. And the Lord is going to give them to enter into this secret. How will the Lord give them to enter that secret? Well, He will give them to experience it. In their own life, He will give them to know it in their own soul, and that they may know what that secret is. How is the Lord doing this? Well, then the Lord is bringing David first into that horrible pit. He is bringing him into that miry clay. Why? That is so that David may experience in his life what it is to be taken up out of this pit. That he may experience, that he may know in his life what it is to be delivered from this horrible pit. Then David will know by experience in his life what it is to go from the expectation of being lost. And in one moment, to being saved. Oh, the Lord will give His people to enter into that secret. How? Congregation, read Psalm 107. Then you see over and over again where the Lord did lead His children. Where the Lord did lead them to their wits' end. When He brought them to the gates of death. When they fall down and there is none to help. And every time again that they experience in their life what it is to cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and that He may save them out of their distresses. Oh, then they learn to magnify and to glorify that God of their salvation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. Oh, that is a people that may enter into that secret of the Lord. Oh, how does the Lord show it to them? The Lord brings that people to the edge of the sea. When there are nothing but mountains on the sides, a sea before them, and Pharaoh behind them, when death itself that is staring them in the face. And in this expectation to experience in their life the deliverance of the Lord, oh, then they enter into the secret of the Lord. Then they experience that mystery for themselves. What is the Lord doing? He is bringing his people, even with a Mephibosheth. When Mephibosheth has to stand before his judge, in expectation of what? In expectation that that judge will speak, because he is the grandson of King Saul, who was a hater of King David. Thus, in expectation of condemnation, there the Lord is bringing his people. Why? That there the people may experience for themselves what it is to hear it from that king, what it is to hear it from that judge. Fear not, Mephibosheth, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. Oh, what was it? There was a covenant congregation that was between Jonathan and David. There was a covenant that had nothing to do with Mephibosheth, except that Mephibosheth may receive the benefits of that covenant. And that is what Mephibosheth may experience in his life. And there he may enter into that blessed secret of the Lord, when the Lord is showing unto Mephibosheth that covenant. And so the Lord is bringing his own children, that they may come before him as the judge. That the Lord is showing those who fear him, that they may be brought to know something of that blessed covenant between the Father and the Son, that had nothing to do with them, except that they may receive the benefits and the blessings of that covenant. Oh, then it is a people who are on the outside of all that has transpired, except that they may receive the imputation of that blessed Son of God, and therefore brought into that blessed communion a people that may experience in their life that salvation that has nothing to do with themselves. No, they cannot earn it. And no, they cannot sin themselves outside of it. Why not? Because it is the covenant of the Lord, standing so sure on the firm foundation of the merits of that blessed Son of God. Oh, that secret of the Lord. That secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And therefore, those that fear him, they don't always have such an easy life here below. Maybe you ask that sometimes, young people. Why is that? Asaph said, why is it that the wicked prosper? Why is it that God's children, they have difficulties in this world? Why is it that it seems like the Lord is always against that people? Oh, when did Asaph understand it? When he came into the house of God. And what did the Lord show him? The Lord showed him their end. Oh, then the Lord showed them that distinction. It is because the Lord wants to show that people his covenant. It is because the Lord will show them that fear him a very special secret. And it is because the Lord wants to give them to experience that secret. And what is that covenant? That covenant is a covenant of mercy. That covenant is a covenant of grace. How is it possible that the Lord would show, that the Lord would reveal, that the Lord would give a person to enter into that secret of mercy, that secret of grace, if the Lord never makes that people a fit object of that mercy, of that grace. We cannot know the widow's secret until our husband is dead. So it is impossible to experience deliverance out of the pit if we never have been brought into that pit. None know mercy who do not know misery. None know grace who do not know what it is to be undeserving, but that secret of the Lord that is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. O people of the Lord, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Or are you better than others that you have received it? Of yourself you would never have sought the Lord. No, you also sought the world. You also sought in the ways of sin. By nature you were also the children of wrath, even as others. But the Lord, while you lingered, the Lord in being merciful to you, the Lord has taken you by the hand. The Lord has set you without that city. Oh, the Lord has opened your eyes. The Lord has stripped away your false foundations. The Lord has cut you off from your own works. And thus now you receive a double blessing. The fear of the Lord in the first place, but also an entrance into that secret. But then we must ask you, how much do you know of that secret? Oh, you know of that secret. When there is but a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, that is a people who already have entered into that secret of the Lord. A people of the Lord, how little do you know of that secret? Or how little is revealed? And why? Oh, must then not the question be, what is our life? Where is that close life? That the Lord may reveal that secret, because the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And He will show them His covenant. Congregation, we should not speak about that covenant of the Lord. And we should not speak about knowing the secret of the Lord when we are able to walk easily along with all this world, then we should not speak about it. Because then we deceive ourselves. Because then it is a knowledge of our mind. Because it is of our understanding. How can we say this? The Lord says it in His Word. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And there is, when there is no grief, when there is no sorrow, because we cannot fear Him as we ought, then we have never entered into that secret of the Lord. O congregation, what is the secret that we desire to enter into? Do we desire to enter into the secrets of our neighbor's business? Solomon says that he who intermeddleth with that thing that does not belong to him is like one who takes a dog by his ears. That means that he will soon be bit. Oh, do we want to enter into the secret of how we can become rich in this world? There are books about this. Many. And if you want to enter into that secret, then you may read all those books. Do you want to enter into the secret of how to become famous in this world? Oh, then there are many things that are written by the wise of this world. Young people, what are the things that we would like to experience in our life? You say, I would like to know what that is. I would like to enter into that. What is that? To climb a great mountain, to stand on the top, to feel like the conqueror. I would like to experience what that is, to be my own boss, to have complete freedom, to have no one to tell me what I have to do. Oh, did you ever desire to enter into another secret? Did you ever desire to enter into the secret of the Lord? Oh, did it ever make you jealous enough that you would begin to read in the Word of God, and that you would begin to read in the books of our forefathers, that you say, oh, may I know also some little part of that great secret of the Lord. Oh, the Bible speaks about those who look into the perfect law of liberty. Is that not a freedom to desire? The freedom from sin, the freedom from guilt, the freedom from all the results of our sin. All the Bible speaks. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Is that not a secret? That are not a secret that you desire to enter into? Or what was that secret that made Abraham so obedient that he would bring his only son, that he would bring his beloved son Isaac and offer him upon that altar? What is that secret? What is that secret that gave David so much courage to go with a sling and a stone against that great giant, or Gideon with 300 men with not a weapon in his hand against all the host of the Midianites? What is that secret of the Lord? What is that secret that made Hannah so happy that her countenance was no more sad when she had not yet even a child in her womb? Oh, what is that secret that gives rest unto those that labor and are heavy laden? Oh, may the Lord give a desire congregation where there is no desire. May the Lord give the fear of the Lord where there is no fear of the Lord, and a blessed entrance into the secret of His covenant to the salvation of our souls and to the glory of His name. Amen.
I would now like to ask those who wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? For do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Marie Stella Arnoldusen? Leonard Peter Brum. Yes. Beverly Ann Den Hollander. Adrian Johannes Janssen. Young people, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. We have studied somewhat together the doctrines out of the Word of God. And that is necessary because of our deep fall, because of our ignorance. But we are unable to give to ourselves. We are unable to give unto you the fear of the Lord, and unable to give you to enter into the secret of the Lord. And this is actually the most necessary part. That is the part that can only be to you a comfort in life and in death. We hope that this may not be the end of your studies, but that it may continue with the interest of your heart, because it is by these means that the Lord is showing something of that secret unto His church. However, there are many people in the world who know many things about the Bible. There are people who have actually memorized the Bible from the beginning to the end. And yet, they have never entered into the secret of the Lord. Thus, our study, our reading, that is very important. That is the means that the Lord is using. However, how much we know, that is not the most important. What the most important is, when we know it, when we know that it is the word of the Lord, do we fear Him?
Do we obey Him? Do we walk in His ways? When you are a member of the congregation, then your conduct that will be scrutinized also by the outside world, and our sin that does not bring only a blot upon our own name, but that brings a blot upon the name of the Lord and of His church. That is what Moses did not want to happen. And we hope that it is also laying in the bottom of your heart, that you may fear the Lord, and that His name may never be cast into contempt because of yourself. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord give to you a close life to Him. May the Lord give to you an inner chamber. May the Lord show to you something, give you a desire that you may enter into those blessed secrets. The secret of the power of the Godhead of the Messiah. The power by which He can cleanse the most guilty, filthy, and polluted one. May you know that power. And may you have a desire to enter into it. Or a desire to know something of the secret of the humanity. We said every doctrine in the Word of God that has such a secret, that has such a blessed comfort attached to it. The humanity of the Lord Jesus, that high priest, for those who cannot, who dare not come before that holy and that righteous God. And now we read in the Word of God and High Priest that we can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, may you be given in your life to desire to enter into that secret, and that you may know something, experience something of that blessed covenant of the Lord. We hope that the Lord may go with you, may bless you, and that you also may be a blessing in the midst of us as a congregation. Parents, it is in the way of the Lord's providence that all of you also may be present with us in this afternoon. And here stand our children. John said, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in the truth. And today, now we see our children and have heard that they have taken over for themselves a vow that we have made. When we stood here with them in our arms as an infant, and made a vow before the Lord. And now, when confession would be conversion, then our desire would this day be fulfilled. But it is not so. And our instruction of our children that comes largely to an end. And yet may the Lord give to us a place that we may still lay them before Him, that He may give them what we were never able to give to them. Congregation, receive these young people as members in our midst. A congregation ought to be as a family that is upright, honest, and dealing in love one with another.
That is how it ought to be. To warn each other. Are we ready to do that? When they will turn from the right way. Or when any of us will turn from the right way. Or to be as a family. To in love, in earnestness, warn one another. But not only to warn, but congregation, are there those who know something of that secret? Are there those who have become older under the preaching, under the reading of the Word of God, that may experience something? They may know something of the blessedness of that covenant that can speak to our young people and to our children. Oh, when as a family, that may be heard in our midst, that a holy jealousy may go out from our youth, that they may know something. The smallest part of that blessed secret, that covenant of the Lord. Then we will be a little help to one another on our short journey in this time to that never-ending eternity. One day to stand. Oh, may it be together. At the right hand of that judge. And then to enter into the secrets more and more to the honor and to the glory of God and to the eternal rejoicing of our heart. May it be so in our midst. I would like to ask the congregation now to stand and to sing Psalter 248, stanzas 1 and 4. Psalter 248, stanzas 1 and 4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide, and in his shadow safely hide. 1 and 4 of 248 standing.
Sure protect.
Let us now close with a word of prayer. Lord of heaven and of the earth, thou who art the silent witness of all that has been spoken and all that has taken place in this afternoon hour, may we beseech thee for thy blessing that we cannot do without. Lord, what is secret that is hidden, but when we may enter into it, and when thou wilt show it, then it is open. And then thou art glorified. Remember us then. Remember these young people. Oh, give them a place to seek it. Give them to find it. And all of us together, bring back our own vows and bring us guilty in thy sight, in need of the precious and that all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Bring us safely home. Keep us from all iniquity. Forgive our many sins. Remember those also in the week to come who will travel back to the Netherlands. Keep watch over and protect them. And be with each and every one of us in this life, in our needs and cares, each one in our own place. Give that thy word may be the thought and the meditation of our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 65. Psalter 65, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord His own will lead, if His word they still obey and His testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter 65.
Here and
sons all good shall know. They that fear and love the Lord shall Jehovah's friendship know. He will grace to them accord, and his faithful covenant show. Praise God from home, all blessings flow. Praise Him, O creatures, hear me, Lord.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.